This workshop is called How to Have a Meaningful Daily Devotional. How many of you are in the right place? Hey, I think 100% of you are in the right place. Any of you would feel free to come up here, that'd be fine. If you'd rather stay there, that's fine too. But wherever you can see and respond the best. This has sure been a good conference, still a good conference. A lot of work has gone into it, hasn't it? And a lot of organization. I'm Russ Saffer. I live in Flagler, Colorado. And every time at a break when I mention that to somebody, they ask, where are you from? And I tell them, they say, where's that? And it's 120 miles east of Denver on Interstate 70 between Lyman and Burlington, about 70 miles from the Kansas border. And Kathy and I were farming for like 11 years. A year ago, we gave up our farm, gave it back to FHA. I'll say something about that just a little bit later in our session. And now I'm a commodities broker in Flagler. Before we get started, does everybody have a handout?
No.
Okay. They should be back on that desk there. Yeah. Let's get everybody a handout and then we'll begin. I handed out a picture here just a little bit ago, and we'll continue to pass that around as we have our session. Let's look at our handout. It says, how to have a meaningful daily devotional. Why have a daily devotional? We'll talk about that, give a definition, a simple definition, then solving problems. What struggles do you experience in having a devotional time each day? We'll talk about that and some specific how-tos, some things to look for in having our quiet time. And last session, we didn't have time to get into the application of actually having a 10-minute quiet time. I'll point out right now, before we get started, the bibliography at the end of your handout. And those are pamphlets, Man in the Morning by Stephen Olford, 7 Minutes with God by Nav Press, Quiet Time by InterVarsity Press, Time Alone with God, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and My Heart, Christ's Home by Robert Boyd Munger. Those are some things that address the quiet time or address the daily devotional time. The handout is such that it's not complete. You see that under a lot of these there's a lot of space, and that's for you to write in some things as we go through them today, and that's to keep you alert and on the ball. Before we get started, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this conference. Lord, we thank you that we are here by divine appointment. We're here to learn from each other. But, Lord, the most important thing is we need to be touched by you and learn from you and learn how to communicate with you and how to be intimate with you, how to bear our souls to you. Lord, I thank you that you are an initiator. You initiate love toward us. You have initiated the plan of salvation that we might be acceptable in your sight through Christ and that we might get to know you. You have brought about all of those things that we can respond to. Lord, I pray that today we would get some things from this session as we share together that would cause us to be more effective in having our daily devotional, that we truly would be devoted to you. And Lord, we truly would be getting to know you more intimately and personally. And as a result, Lord, that you might shine through us, that others might see you in us, that they might be drawn to you. And Lord, we pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many benefits of having a daily devotional life, having a daily devotional, having a time of getting to know God. So many benefits. One benefit is that when we put God first, get to know Him intimately, it changes our relationship with other people. And it changes our relationship in our marriages and with our employers or with our employees. In every area of our life, we will change, and it will make a difference. Why have a daily devotional? So I ask you, why do you want to have a daily devotional? Okay, to be a better witness. Another reason.
Get God's perspective on my day.
Okay, to get God's perspective on my day. Okay, aware of God's will. Anyone else? Okay, to know who He is. You know, I think we make many decisions each day, and a lot of decisions are based upon who God is, according to who we think He is. And as we get to know Him better and better, we will make decisions more in line with His will, and our lives will take on new power, new perspective, and new meaning. And how many people are walking the streets of our cities and country towns that don't have any meaning and purpose to life? And, you know, the one who created us, the one who gives meaning and purpose, that's the one we're getting to know. Any other reason? Well, those are several good reasons. To be aware of God's will, to know who He is, to know Him, to be a better witness, to get God's perspective on our day, and to find out who God is. 1 Corinthians 1:9. I'd like for us to turn to that. 1 says, God who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Out of that verse we learn that God is faithful. And God in His faithfulness has called each one of us as Christians to fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, to get to know Him. And one of the best definitions of fellowship that I've heard is two fellows in one ship. And that's kind of like when we fellowship with the Lord, we can share our thoughts. And we can listen to His thoughts from the Bible. We can share our emotions, and we can bear our souls. And it's like bearing our souls to somebody who already knows us, but who wants us to respond to Him. In James 4:7-10, this is one that Gene Ward this morning spoke about. Boy, for me, it's really been a tremendously key verse. We're going to read some verses around that too. But James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." Our God is a God who is an initiator. And I think one verse in the Bible that depicts that is Romans 5:8. It says, "But God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were alienated from God. We were away from God. And He sent His Son. And when Jesus died on the cross, well, that should have been you. And it should have been me on the cross dying for our own sin. But you've heard the expression that salvation is free. To us it's free, but boy, did it cost Christ, and did it cost the Father. It was costly, but to us now it's free. And through Christ we can be acceptable to God, and we can come to know God. Jesus was put on the cross. He died. He was buried. 3 days later He rose from the dead. And then over a period of 40 days, He showed Himself to over 500 people. And then he bodily ascended into heaven. God took the initiative. He came up with the plan to help us to become right with himself. Our God is an initiator of love and of a plan for us to be right with him. When we receive Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes into us and he becomes our teacher. And when we read the Word of God, it can be meaningful. After I became a Christian, the Bible became understandable, or more understandable to me, and the church became more meaningful, and I knew I needed to obey my parents, things like that. Let's go to verse 7 in this same passage. Submit to yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This passage tells us a little bit of how to come near to God. We need to submit ourselves to God, and we need to resist the devil. And as Gene was pointing out in our morning session, you know, the devil can't really have any sway over us, or can't have his way with us, if we're submitting to God and resisting the devil. And then we need to humble ourselves before God. He says he will lift up the humble, and he will abase or bring low the proud. And when God does something, he does a good job. And I think it's better to have him lifting us up because we are humbling ourselves before him than it is for us to lift ourselves up and to experience his bringing us low. You know, the Christian life isn't made up just of rules and regulations, of do's and don'ts. And for the first 13 years of my Christian life, it was. You don't smoke, drink, chew, or go out with girls that do. That kind of thing. And boy, if you don't do this and don't do that and don't do that, boy, you're a good Christian. And Christians sometimes look up to you when you're disciplined and not doing certain things. But you can not do a lot of things and still be empty inside. So, really, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations, but it's a personal life flow, a life-giving flow from the Lord to ourselves. When we get to know him, when we get into the Bible, he speaks to us through the Bible, and we speak to him through prayer. And when we communicate with each other, something happens down deep inside, and we change. The Bible is authority over us. The Bible is up here, and we look up to the Bible, and this is truth, and this is authority. This is God's authority over us. One side of the coin is that the authority that God puts over us, there's a lot of different authorities that God has put over each one of us in our lives, but as we submit to the authority that God has put over us, sometimes it's hard to submit. But when we do, then we experience the protection of God. In our daily time of family devotions, with our kids, we've been reading through Psalms. It is something how David, when he was obedient to the Lord, he expected the Lord's protection. And when we jump out from underneath the authority of God's Word, then Satan can have a heyday in our lives. But as we stay under the authority of God's Word, then we're protected by the Word. We're protected by God. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, God has given us very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So in the light of this passage concerning his promises, we can become... It says we can become participants in the divine nature through the promises. And one promise is draw near to God and he will draw near to us. So when we take this promise seriously and we draw near to God by submitting to him, fellowshipping with him, then we will experience in many different ways his drawing near to us and being real to us. And one definition on our handout, this is just one definition, and that I've come up with to help us to know what we're talking about. It says a daily devotional is an extended period of time in an alone place to develop more fully an intimate fellowship with my Lord. You know, it's not something that we can do for a week or a month and then graduate from this basic of the Christian life and think that we're graduating to something, you know, better or whatever. This is something that will last for the rest of our lives. It's something that we want to do daily, mainly because the godly men and women of the Bible who really did things for God were able to do things for God because they knew God. And they knew God because they spent time with God. It's something that we can't do in 30 seconds or 1 minute. But as we spend time, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, in our daily quiet times, our daily devotional with the Lord over an extended period of time, then we get to know Him very personally. It says something about an alone place, a place that we're all alone. We're talking about a one-on-one relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to develop, this thing develops over a period of time and over a period of years, an intimate fellowship. And we are fellowshipping with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He is the one we want to get to know. Now I want to ask you a question. How do you get to know another person? Okay. We need to spend time with them. Okay, communication. And what is involved in communication? Okay, asking them questions and listening to the answer or responding to their answer or responding to them and them responding to us. Anything else? Okay. Okay.
Just by watching them, you get to know a person just watching them.
We can do that in Scripture, can't we? We can do that. In Isaiah 43, it talks about us being witnesses. And as we're witnesses, He says, I want you to be my witnesses so that you can know me and believe me that I am God. And He says, you're to witness that I am God to other people. And as we do that, we get to know God. If you don't want to know someone, what do you do? You ignore them. You don't spend time with them. And you don't respond to them. Things like that. Daily we make that choice of whether we will respond to God or whether we won't respond to God. Whether we will develop that daily fellowship with Him or whether we won't. And the Lord feels that. He knows when we want to really become serious in our relationship with Him and really get to know Him and when we are just playing games. A few motivating examples. David in Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will look up to you and I will and be expectant. Let's turn to that right quick. That wasn't really a very good quote of that. Psalm 5:3. In the New International Version, it says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. David had a specific time during the day when he came before God in prayer, and that was in the morning. And he was looking up to God. He was expectant of God responding to him. It was had to do with two-way communication, and we'll talk about that a little later in our session. Let's turn to Mary's example in Luke 10:38-42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38-42. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he said. And you and I today can do the same thing. As we sat at Jesus' feet by reading the Bible and with the Holy Spirit in us, we can communicate with God. He can communicate to us, and then we communicate to him through prayer. I believe this passage teaches that our daily devotional needs to be a priority. Jesus said one thing is needful, and that is sitting at his feet and listening to what he says and fellowshipping with him. Many times I think what happens in our Christian lives is that when we don't have a daily devotional, you know, let's say we do have a daily devotional and we start working not just for the Lord, but in our community and with the people we meet each day, with our families and with the people in our church, we are working with the Lord. We are laborers together with him. When we witness to somebody, we can't convince them 100% that they are sinners, that they're alienated from God. We can't convince them that what we're saying is right, necessarily. We can't convince them that someday they're going to come before God and be judged by him. But that's the Holy Spirit's work. We're supposed to tell them the good news, and the Holy Spirit is to convict them that what we say is right. Convict them that they are sinners separated from a relationship or a fellowship with God. And that someday they are going to come before God and they're going to be judged by him. And that is something that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit has to work with us. We are workers and laborers together with God in that. And what happens, rather than when we start not having a quiet time, not getting to know God on a regular basis, then we start working for God. We start doing things for God. But then, you know, as time goes on, our motive kind of switches there, and we start doing things on our own and having our own ideas and having our own programs and wanting God to kind of rubber stamp and okay everything that we do or think. And we do it in the name of Jesus so that it'll be all right. But there's no real power that comes from within. And there's nobody coming to Christ and nobody growing in the Lord. And we see that there's not much fruit in our own lives, you know, in Christian character. And so then we have to come back and say, why isn't this happening? Well, it's happening because we're doing it in the flesh. We're doing it on our own, and we're not really that intimately related to God. But when we get to know him, those things change. Something happens inside. And our faith increases. Our faith grows. And rather than working on our own or working for the Lord, we're working with him and getting to know him more and more intimately by knowing his ways and experiencing his goodness in ministering with us, or our ministering with him. Martha was troubled. She was anxious. She was worried. She was upset about many things. She was uptight. Have you ever been uptight about things? Have you ever said, man, I need to be there doing that, and I need to be doing that? You need to be at least three different places at the same time. And have you ever been like I have in the past and said, boy, I just don't have time. I am so rushed and my schedule is so busy, I don't have time to spend with the Lord. I can tell you, you do have time. You have to make time. But when we make our daily devotional priority, all the other areas take their proper perspective. And I think it's so important to make our daily devotional priority, because he can talk to us about these other areas. He can talk to us, this activity isn't really that needful, isn't really that important. Or do this, or get somebody else to do that. And, you know, it really puts everything else into perspective. I think one reason also to spend time with the Lord in the morning is to tune our hearts to him before the decisions and pressures of the day come upon us. We need our hearts tuned to the Lord before the day really starts. When an orchestra plays, before it plays, That's when the instruments are tuned. They don't tune the instruments after the orchestra is done playing. So before, you know, the pressures and decisions of the day come about, we need to tune our hearts to the Lord. About 12, Kathy and I, we've been married about 12 years. I farmed for a year before we got married. And so we was farming wheat there in eastern Colorado and really having a good time. And was in debt quite a little bit, but we was able to service the debt. Then there came the day when the price of wheat went down, plummeted, and interest rates didn't go down, and expenses didn't go down. And we found ourselves in quite a hole, a lot of debt. And we found out the hard way that about the truth that's in the Bible that says that the one who borrows is servant and slave to the person who lends. And we couldn't service our debt. And we went to FHA and said we can't make the payments, and we would like to give the land back to FHA. And they said that eventually, after about 6 months, they said, we will take it back for all the debt that's against it. But those 6 months were a long, long time. It was like years and years. And we went to them and said, we would like to deed it back. And we signed the deed and everything. And then it was interest racking up on us, and interest against interest. And boy, I'll tell you, it just eats you on the inside. And the anxiety and the turmoil. And in my quiet times, one of the favorite verses of passages I would go to is 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, and deeply meditating on that. And Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And boy, those two verses became so very meaningful. As we gave thanks, which was hard for us to do, to give thanks for our situation. But once we did it, the Lord seemed to give us increased perspective. And we really found out, hey, we've got great health, and we've got three kids, a girl six, a boy six, and another boy four. And wow, the personalities they have, and as vibrant as they are, and our family, a relationship, and our church, and the people in our community, and how we get along, with just the Lord had given us a lot of things. And when we started giving him thanks for many of these things, it really helped us to gain a perspective on our problems. And he would give deep, deep peace. But about 3 days later, I would start thinking deeply and start taking back a lot of these anxieties concerning our farming situation and our debt and finances. And my heart would become troubled again. And so then we'd go back to 1 Peter 5:7, cast it on the Lord and pray and make requests. And Lord, sometimes it's like, Lord, what is happening? You seem to be silent. You seem to not be doing anything. And here we believe that you want us to be honest in our situation and give back the land and make that right and get out of debt, and here you're not doing anything. Well, we thought we would, you know, wear out 1 Peter 5:7 and Philippians 4:6-7. But we found out you just can't wear out verses like that, that they're just as new and refreshing today as they were, you know, a year or two ago. But God was working all the time. Now as we look back, it's been over a year, and as we look back, we see that God was working all the time on our behalf. And what happened was that if we had been able to give back the land at the time we wanted to, then we would have had to have paid interest or storage on all of the wheat in our bins. Our own wheat in our own bins, we would have had to pay a lot of storage, several thousand dollars, and we would have had to have paid rent on the house that we were living in. Well, during those 5 or 6 months that FHA was going through the paperwork and process of taking the farm back, we were able to find another business. I'm a commodities broker in Flagler now, and also a house to live in. And a lot of things got squared away. Then we only had to pay like 1 month's rent on our house and the storage on wheat in our bins. So it was very little that we had to pay. And so as we look back, we saw that, you know, the best thing for us is that God at that point didn't have to do anything. That was in our best interest. And God was at work even though we didn't feel that He was. And during that time, we learned a lot of patience. And patience, as you know, is a virtue. And but sometimes it's hard to come by. And perseverance, we learned that. And we learned to exercise our faith and to trust His sovereignty, to trust that He's in control when we can't see what He's doing or really understand all that He's doing. But now, a year later, we look back and now we see what He was doing. And we do need to tune our hearts to Jesus before the decisions precious of the day come our way. And sometimes when we learn something and when we put anxiety upon Him and apply verses like 1 Peter 5:7, sometimes we take that anxiety back and we have to do it again and give it to the Lord. Let's turn to Mark 1, chapter 1, verses 21 through 39. We won't read all of these verses because of the lack of time today, but we will go through and give a general thing of what happened. This is a day in the life of Jesus. And this wasn't unique. He made it a custom. He had a custom of getting alone with the Father and getting direction from Him. But what happened in verse 21 there is it says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And He was teaching. There was a man with a demon, and He cast the demon out. And then after the synagogue service there, He went to Simon Peter and Andrew's home, the home of Simon Peter and Andrew, it says in verse 29. And in verse 30 it says, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her, and He healed her. And then that evening, in verse 32, that evening after sunset, this is in the evening, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but He would not let the demons speak because they knew who He was. Now that was into the night. Now, look at the next verse. Verse 35, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, the sun wasn't even up yet, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. He made the time with the Father priority. And He was out there all alone. And He didn't call the disciples, come with me, or anything else. He was out there getting direction. And how do we know He was getting direction? Well, the disciples came out to Him. And they say, everyone is looking for you. He was real popular in ministry. He had quite a ministry going in the place that He was at. And they may have thought, hey, you should stay here, because you're being real successful in this place. But Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come. So His time with the Father, in that alone place, all by Himself, praying, He got direction for what He was supposed to do. He was not supposed to stay in that place, but He was supposed to go preach elsewhere to the nearby villages. And this is one thing you have brought up, is that we need to get direction, need to find God's will for the day. We talk to God through prayer, and He talks to us through the Bible. And in Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, Moses knew God's ways, the Israelites knew God's acts. So the Israelites, they could see, oh, God did that, and God did that, and God did that. But Moses knew what God wanted to do before he did it. So Moses was able to cooperate with God in being used by God as an instrument to do God's will, to do what he wanted. And Paul is another example. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made like Him in His death. Paul's one big goal in life was to know Jesus Christ. Is that your goal in life? To know Jesus Christ intimately and personally. Now we come to a time where I want you to respond. Is there any response to what we have said so far? What we've shared or anything? Okay, I'm going to ask a question now. What struggles do you experience in having a devotional time each day? Okay, discipline. Consistency, or getting up in the morning. Okay?
Trying to do everything that I want to do in my life. I'm reading the prayer description and trying to get it all in before I reach the
mm-hmm. Okay? Try to get it all in.
Mind wandering. You start praying about the events of the day, and pretty soon you're planning the events of the day.
Meaningfulness is, for me, is sort of inversely proportional to how well things are going. The better they're going, the less meaningful, and vice versa.
Does everybody see this picture of this on this pamphlet? Wasn't that something? I have done that very same thing. Not very many mornings, but some. And I can just imagine that this guy, you know, he's sitting in his kitchen. You can see the sun just coming up through the kitchen window. And the coffee pot's on, and he's got a cup of coffee there on the table with his Bible on the table, and the dog's asleep at his feet. And he's sitting in the chair with his head on the Bible. And kind of like osmosis was supposed to take place. But he's sound asleep. Sound asleep. So what is the problem? How can we help that guy? Okay, good idea. That's a little bit of real wisdom. Go to bed a little earlier the night before.
Maybe when you get up in the morning, you're too tired to, you're not quite awake yet. Maybe, lunchtime or mid-afternoon.
A lot of times I get up, or every morning, I guess, I get up and take a shower and try to get awake that way, do a few exercises, and then start having a quiet time, or in my daily devotional. I think one thing that I've learned is in making it priority, I found that if I miss one morning, then it's easy to miss the second morning, easy to miss the third, and first thing you know, I'm completely missing this time. And so I've started doing several things. One is that if I get home at 12:30 at night for some reason, we're out late, and get home at 12:30 at night, then before I drop into bed, I try to set the alarm for what time I definitely want to get up. If I set it for 6 and think, well, I can get up at 6, then, I can reach over and punch the button and, 5 minutes go by, it goes off again and I punch the button again. Well, or maybe I just turn the thing off, and then I get up at 7 and, I don't have a lot of time to get to work then. But I have found that one thing is to set the alarm away from my bed so that I have to get out of bed. So I have it set up on my clothes dresser across the room, and then I have to get out of bed, and by the time I get that thing shut off, then I'm awake a little bit more. I've also found if I get home at 12:30 at night, then I need to determine what time am I definitely going to get up in the morning. And let's say it's 6:30, then I set the alarm for 6:30. Then when the alarm goes off, I get out of bed, and I may be rotten tired and think, oh man, the thing I need is more sleep. But I've found that if I go ahead and get up, even though I'm tired, and do a little exercise and take a shower, try to get awake, even if I'm tired out, I do that. Then in the afternoon, I'm looking for a nap. And sometimes I can take a 10 or 15 minute cat nap, and that really helps. And if I can't get a nap during the morning and the afternoon, then that night I'm looking for bed a little bit earlier. But if we make the quiet time priority and get up, no matter how late we got up or got to bed the night before, that's what Jesus did. That was the example that he had here in the passage we just read. And when we do that, our schedule in other areas is going to conform to making it priority. And it just depends on how important we think it is to spend time with the Lord. Philippians 3, 7 through 9, we won't read that now, but basically Paul says everything else is garbage when compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. It was so important to Paul that he made it priority. And if it's really important to us, we will make it priority, and then other areas of life will be scheduled around that. Priority, I used to think, meant that you did that more than anything else, but I figured that that was wrong. And basically what it means to be priority is that it gets done. It gets done. And other things will be bumped out of my schedule, but my time with the Lord is not going to be bumped out of my schedule. And I think that's right. Some people are not morning people. Some people are night people. I'm a morning person. And some people, you know, housewives, have their quiet time after they get the kids off to school and things like that, get the dishes done, then they can sit down for a good quiet time and really be meaningful. But I think that's one other thing we need to do, is we have to have a committed time, a specific time during the day where it's a habit that we get into, that we spend time with the Lord. Any other comments, questions? Yes.
I discovered about 2 years ago that if I would spend 20 to 30 minutes a day, three times a week, I could gain about 5 hours a week. The way I did that is I started exercising and running in the mornings, and I need about an hour a day less sleep, and still not tired in the afternoon. So that leveraged a lot. And that's a way to gain some time for getting up early or whatever. I just have a lot more energy than I did.
Exercise is really important.
And it helped this too. It really did.
Yes.
I find that a lot easier 5 days a week where the schedule is pretty much the same, to get up and do the same routine, to do the quiet time, but weekend to just fall apart. And of course, I kind of expect Sunday to be a quiet time when you're meditating on the Lord's Word. It's not the same type of quiet time that I have during the week. Saturday, I'm going to forget it, you know, going here and there during the week. And that's where I struggle, is I've got maybe a 5-day week quiet time, and I'm kind of wondering how do other people get it, get in there. It's not a routine like the other 5 days.
Does anybody have an answer for it? You can share.
My thought is, are you being too legalistic? If you're acknowledging God's presence in your day on Saturday and you're seeking to worship Him at church on Sunday, maybe He isn't asking you to have a quiet time on those days.
But you definitely miss it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if you're missing it, then He's missing it with you. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it's being legalistic. I feel that I'm robbing myself of the time with Him, and I want to know how to do it.
I don't feel legalistic like that.
Do you get up early on Saturdays also?
No. We have soccer
and
a lot of
things.
You can't beat them up and do it early. I don't mean beat them up.
Get up before them.
It's difficult. I've got a toddler that has a schedule where one day he wakes up at 6 o'clock, one day he wakes up at 7:30, one day it's 8 o'clock, next day it's 6:15. And trying to predict his schedule, I try to go ahead and he also sleeps in the same room with me, so I can't really set an alarm, because if I set an alarm to wake me up, it wakes him up, and then you can forget about a quiet time. And then he's up all day long, and you don't get a quiet time in all day. So you just kind of have to depend on waking yourself up earlier than he is. And a lot of times I'll wake up and my first struggle is, okay, where am I going to read in my quiet time today? And the other day, by the time I finally figured out a passage where I was going to read in my quiet time, he started waking up. And then you're like, okay, because you've got this toddler that's not going to be patient and not going to wait. And sometimes it's just difficult trying to, like you said, have time to get all the things that you want in before And I don't know what the answer to that is.
I have a friend who thinks songs were written for your mother, because you can get a lot in a short period of time from songs.
Most of my mornings are in Psalms and Proverbs.
Yeah.
No, talking about where we read, that really brings up a good point, because how many times have I, in the past, you know, got up a little bit tired and then never had a real place to read. And I go to Galatians thinking, hey, this would be a good place. And I think, no, Psalms are good, and then no Proverbs. And then I think, well, there's joy found in Philippians, and that's what I need. I better be reading there. Well, 20 minutes, you know, you can go here and there and read a couple verses here and one there, and in 20 minutes, you just don't have anything. I mean, you just have flitted from one thing to another, and it's just meaningless. And so kind of what I've done is, if I start in Galatians, I continue through Galatians until I'm done, unless some morning there's a real need in my life, and I know that that's answered in a chapter in Proverbs, or I need to go to Proverbs that day, or maybe I need to go to John 15. The Lord has spoke to me about something, you know, that passage says about abiding in Christ. Different places that we can go, but I think when the Lord directs us to do that, we can get off of our consistent reading through one book, chapter by chapter, and go to another chapter and really concentrate on that, but then come back to our regular reading, you know, chapter by chapter consecutively in the book that we were in before we went over to that other chapter. A couple other things that have really helped me is that if I really maybe finished up a book and I haven't really given much thought about where I'm going to read the next morning, and I really don't have a specific place to go to, I look at the date on the calendar on my watch, and like today's the 5th of November. Then in Psalms, if you take, like, say it's the 5th, you go the 5th Psalm, then the 35th Psalm, the 65th Psalm, the 95th Psalm. You'll be doing about 5 different Psalms every day, and then you get through all of the Psalms in 1 month. And that's another little program that a person can use. Usually I try to read a chapter, like if I'm going through Colossians or something, to read the first chapter the first day, and then read the second chapter the second day, and things like that. Plan where to read, a consistent place to be, committed to a specific time of day, and we need to make it priority. You know, your desire and determination can overcome any obstacle. And I think as we cry out to God and say, Lord, what do I do in this situation? That He can give us wisdom. And then as we ask friends, Christian ladies, you know, I haven't had any small toddlers changing diapers all day and preparing food and things like that. But as I think we ask other Christian ladies who have been in that same situation, and us men, asking men who are in the same kind of similar situation that we are with our work, how do you make that priority, and how do you do the asking questions of other people? That can really help us. One thing I want to bring out in this section too is communicating. Let's say, for example, that I was reading through the 3rd chapter of the book of John, and there's about 4 verses that seem to be more meaningful than the rest, and so as I go through, I just make a little mark or a little check of some kind. And then after I read the whole chapter, then I go back to those 4 verses and read them again. And then I usually pick one verse that I really want to get down to business and really meditate deeply upon. And let's just say, for example, that that verse was John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So as I meditate deeply on that, I see that God is a God of love, and He is a God of action, because He gave of His Son, and He did it for my benefit, and He doesn't want me to perish, and He has a plan for me to have eternal life. And boy, as I meditate and think about that, it becomes so rich and meaningful, and the love of God becomes so so real. And then I start to pray, and I pray about my relationship with my wife Kathy, and about the kids, about my job and work, some things that are going on at the church, and pray for some missionaries around the world. And well, I communicate to God through my prayer about a lot of different things, but I don't respond to God concerning what He's talked to me about. And it's kind of like, you know, you're talking about the Broncos, and I'm talking about my problem at work. And we just don't, something's not right. We're just not on the same wavelength. But 8 years ago, my quiet time took on new meaning and new vitality when I started responding to God about the specific thing He talked to me about in the Scripture. And, you know, when we're reading along in the Bible, when some verse becomes meaningful to us, don't take that too lightly, because the Holy Spirit in us can cause that to be meaningful and cause it to be really refreshing. And when we meditate on it further, God can be there. He will be there to help us and to help it to be really meaningful. Anything else that you would like to share about problems we might have? One verse that depicts priority, making it priority, and what it's all about, the devotional time each day, is found in Psalm 27:4. One thing have I a desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. So David said, you know, one thing I really seek, I really want, and one thing he really desired, but he went beyond just desire. He went on to determination. He went on to really seeking God. And he says, I want to be with God. I want to just rejoice in who He is. And I want to ask Him questions and communicate with Him. Let's go to the specific how-tos. The equipment we need is a Bible and a notebook and a pen. We talk to God through prayer, and He talks to us through the Bible. And one of the first things I do, even before I start, is to pray for insight. Psalm 119:18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law." And there's a lot of different ways that we can express to God our desire for Him to bless us with insight, and crying out to God, just asking Him to make the time meaningful, and that His Spirit would be teaching us, and that we would see things that He wants us to see, and then reading expectantly, and then picking one verse, as we've mentioned before, and then meditating on that verse. Have you ever been around a bunch of cattle that are on grass, and maybe you're throwing them some alfalfa bales, and well, they stand up, and boy, they really go to eating. And they kind of engulf this food down into that stomach, you know. And then after a while, they lay down, and then they burp up this stuff, and they just sit there and chew the cud. And they enjoy it immensely. If you're out there, you can smell that rich, rich grass or alfalfa, and it just gets munched up in their, you know, mouths, and they just sit there, and the enjoyment is just immense. You can just tell that they enjoy it so much. And you can smell that old hay. Boy, that's just great. And then it just munches that stuff up into smaller and smaller bits, and then it goes down into another stomach. They have four stomachs. And by the time it goes through that last stomach, well, then a lot of good nutrients and energy go into the bloodstream. And when we pick a verse to meditate on, we need to ask questions about it, think deeply about it, just tear it apart into different pieces, and how does that apply to us, and what's the Lord trying to give us there out of it. There might be some things that to look for, a command to obey. Is it a command, or is it a promise to claim? Is it pointing out some sin that I need to confess? Or is there praise to be given to God as a result of a meditation on that verse? Is there something to share with some other people? Or it might give us increased understanding on something that we might not have understood clearly before. We could get direction or rejoice over past obedience. Sometimes we've done something the day before, and in our quiet time we'll get something. It's like God is saying, you did right yesterday in that relationship with that person. You did right. And you can just sense the smile of God coming on your life. And you can rejoice over past obedience. There might be a concern for deeper Bible study. A lot of other things. Those are just a few of the things that we can get from our quiet time. But as we meditate on it deeply, that helps it to be broken down and to really get into our spiritual bloodstream, to really give us strength and energy for the day. And then to, after we meditate on it deeply, to pray and respond to God about that specific thing. And then the last thing that I had is to record. And sometimes I don't record. Sometimes I get to recording, and after, you know, a month or two of recording, why, I just get sick of recording. And it kind of gets in my way. And so I don't record for a week or so. And then I finally get back to recording. But there are some real benefits in recording our quiet time. And that is, you know, the verse that we get, write down the chapter and the verse, and maybe write what the verse says, and then write a little bit of meditation on that verse. And then usually on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, I will go back and read what I wrote the whole last week on each day. And it's amazing what sometimes I find. Sometimes I find a pattern comes about. The Lord is speaking to me about something in my life, about honesty. Or maybe He's speaking to me about the indulgence of the flesh. Or maybe He's speaking to me about pride. Maybe three of my five quiet times during the week, and then on the weekend, on Saturday, maybe, you know, three or four times, and there He, you know, the passages I got from different chapters all have to do, or three or four of them have to do with pride. And maybe, you know, as I look back the week before that, maybe there's a couple days about pride there. And the week before that, you can kind of see a pattern when you read past quiet time recordings. See a pattern of what God's doing. And it might be a real concern for further study on that topic to really get that thing squared away. Sometimes you can look at past recordings and see, wow, you know, a year ago, as you read, you know, go back, way back into some of those recordings, you think, hey, I've still got that problem. The Lord was talking to me about that back there, and He's still talking to me about it. I need to do something to get that thing squared away. And other times, I've gone back 4 or 5 years and picked up some quiet times that I've recorded, and it was just amazing to me how foolish and how childish some of the things that I recorded and some of my thoughts were. And boy, I can just rejoice that God is helping me to grow. You know, it's kind of watching ourselves grow to a certain extent. And a person can really get excited about some of the things that God has done in the past and some of the victories that have come into our personal lives. Questions or comments? We're at quitting time already. And what I was wanting is just to have, we didn't have time in the first session either, to have maybe 10 minutes to 15 minutes of application. Since this is the 5th of November, we're going to go to Proverbs 5, spend about 10 minutes reading and thinking, meditating, having a short quiet time, and then sharing that together. But we won't have time for that. I trust that the time has been beneficial and helpful. And let's pray before we quit here. Lord, I thank You for the involvement of each one here today. Lord, I pray that there might have been some thoughts that we have had through our session here that will help us to draw closer to You, to walk daily with You, to be empowered by You. And Lord, I pray that the things that we have learned and talked about and shared during this hour, this next week, You would bring to our remembrance. A month from now, You'd bring it to our remembrance. Lord, that it might form a habit in our lives of making the quiet time priority. And Lord, I pray that you would work with us in helping us to have a very meaningful quiet time, that we wouldn't become just involved in working for you or doing our own thing, hoping that you okay what we're doing, but help us, Lord, to know your ways, to know what you want to do before you do it, so we can be used as instruments by you to do the things that you want done. And Lord, we want to work with you. We want to be laborers in the harvest field with you in helping people come to Christ and helping them to grow in Christ. And Lord, we can't do that on our own. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your power from the inside out. So Lord, help us in this so important area to get it squared away with you and to learn daily from you, that we might become usable in your hands. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.